We'll look at the tape.
Hogan Johns.
I think we got to come out hard and stay hard.
Part of Chicago's best Bears coverage.
I don't know.
Now, here they are.
They're day-to-day in my mind.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Hogue.
I'm violent.
And the Chicago Sun-Times' Adam Johns.
What an a-hole.
Hug it, chug it, football!
Welcome into episode 81 of what is now called Hogan Johns on WGNRadio.com. Episode 81, let's go Cameron Meredith. Just keep it with the youth movement.
Keep it local, St. Joe's kid, productive year, possibly the number one receiver for the Bears next year, so why not?
That's a scary thought. All right, so we're here in Indianapolis again for the NFL Combine, second episode that we're doing down here, and because of kind of the nature of what this is and maybe people not understanding everything that goes into this, I wanted to bring Matt Bowen on for this podcast. He works for ESPN now. You've heard him on the radio in Chicago. He's written for Bleacher Report, Chicago Tribune. You've seen him a lot in the last few years, but he's gone through this process. He was in the Combine and also happens to watch all these players and have pretty educated opinions on all of them too. So we wanted to get Matt Bowen on the podcast. Matt, of course, participated in the Combine a long time ago. Was that 2000?
Yeah, 2000. It's been, quite a while now. It seems like yesterday. I'll tell you what, it's so different. One, because the media attention is crazy how it is now. But what hasn't changed is the stress, the adversity they put you in. I think sometimes fans forget, you know, these guys, the prospects are running. This is the last day they're here. They all go home after they're done. So you spend the entire, whatever, 4 or 5 days you're here with written tests, the bench press, IQ testing, interviews late at night. They get you up early in the morning for drug testing. Sometimes it's 4:30 in the morning. You have a roommate you don't know. So everything's put against you because they want to see, okay, maybe he doesn't run his best times. And you're going to run better times at your pro day because you're on campus, your college strength coach runs the drills, you dress in your own locker room. Here it's, can you perform when you're under stressful situations? I think it's all part of the job interview process, and everything you do here is a test. How you walk in the hallway, who you're talking to, what you're doing late at night in the hallway of the hotel, they're always watching you.
You mentioned the fans. How about bench pressing when there's literally, it's like an auditorium. Now, I mean, yes, you have your scouts and GMs sitting there, but you got the fans cheering you on. I could see how that could be good, a positive when you hear the clapping, but also a little bit nerve-wracking when you got to walk up there, state your name and school, and you have all these strangers, not only NFL execs, but fans there seeing how many times you could bench 225.
Yeah, I mean, I'd actually like the fans. I remember when I did it and I walked up there, and you would sit on these steel chairs and just go one by one until it was your turn. The whole time you're thinking, am I ready? I mean, well, how many can I do? I'm a defensive back. You warm up off to the side. And you go up there on the stage, and there's all these guys with these notebooks. And you're repping out, you know, your bench press reps. When you get tired at the end, you're like, no, I can get more. No, I can't. But you can't. You can't push your body anymore. And you just feel your arm starting to fall a little bit. And when you're done, you're like, well, I got this amount, and it was okay. And every time you finish something, the first thing that comes to your mind is, was it good enough? Was it good enough for them? Because ultimately, this is going to go back to your evaluation of your character, your game film, a lot of different things. This is a small part of the puzzle, but it's a big part. And for you, especially as a defensive back, it all comes down to that 40 time. That's the first thing you're thinking about from the minute you stop playing college football to the minute you get here, is what time can I put in that stopwatch? Because unfortunately, wide receiver, defensive back is still a stopwatch position.
This morning, I was watching the NFL Network in the hotel room, and they had some footage of Tom Brady at the Combine in 2000, and he's running around in like this extra large T-shirt. And it's just so funny. It's just a small thing that really shows how far this has come, because now all the players are walking around with all this Under Armour swag that they got, and the tight pants and everything, and they just didn't even think about that stuff back then.
No, we were – it was like 1980s basketball shorts and like a double X T-shirt. It was thick. So what we did is we tied them up in the back. You know, got like rubber bands and tied them up. And back then, a lot of guys didn't run because it's the old RCA dome. So it was actual AstroTurf. So the side where you ran was real spongy. So no one ran their best times. Obviously, me, I ended up being a six-round pick. I had no choice but to run. But some of the top tier, you know, top 10, top 15 prospects never ran here. Now it's different. because you're wearing cleats, you're on field turf, you get a great start, you come out of the blocks, those cleats grab immediately, and it's a fast, fast track. We've seen it, the times are great. So whenever someone doesn't run now, I question, why aren't you running? This is a great track. This is why you're here. You should have nothing to hide. And like I said, they know it's probably not going to be your best time. They know you're going to top it when you get back. Let's say you're a 4.52 guy. You might go back to campus, whether you're in Iowa City, you know, Madison, Champaign, wherever, and run a 4.48 because you're more relaxed. They understand that. And the key with that, they're going to take your best time, whether it's on campus or at the combine. That's going to be your 40 time the rest of your career. You just have to run it once in terms of your best time. So if you're here, you just go compete. Go compete, do your best.
Another big part of this whole, what, 5-6 days here is the, you mentioned it's like a nonstop interview, like you walking down the hallways and stuff like that, but that formal interview, take us inside those feelings and how briefed you were and prepared you were then, because you hear from teams now, these guys are so schooled on what to say that they're exploring different ways and using different questions, goofy questions, mm-hmm. to try to get truthful answers out of these players, because it's the personal evaluation is so important. So take us inside that interview process if you can.
Well, they're all different, and every team's different. Some teams just want to talk to you about you. I mean, they ask about your family. They ask if you're dating a girl in college. They ask, I mean, one guy asked me if I drank, how much beer I drank in college. I'm thinking, you know, quite a bit, you know, and I was you know, I'm thinking, I used to go for dollar Bush Light Long Necks, you know, at the sports comp. And then I'm like, are you talking about on campus? You talking about going to spring break in South Padre Island? And that's a whole different story. So I was honest with them. You know, we had a good time. And other guys put me up on the board. They want to test your football intelligence. And I think one of the best things they do, because you're not going to know their schemes, they go up to the board and say, draw me Iowa scheme. And tell me what everyone does, not just you. Tell me what the linebackers do versus this concept. Tell me what you check versus a slot versus 3-by-1 formation. And you are nervous. You're gonna make a couple mistakes because you're nervous. But they just want to see how quickly you can process the information and how you react when they tell you to do it. It seems like such a small thing, but if a guy sits there and he hesitates or he, you know, tries to change the situation a little bit, they're going to notice that. So a lot of it is football intelligence, finding out who you are. And obviously if you have issues off the field, they're going to ask about that. And the key for prospects who do come to the combine with some past history is they already know the answer. They just want to hear it from you. All right. And like I said, you should know that too as a prospect, because I've always said about the combine, this thing's a take-home test. You know exactly the steps you need to take. You know which way the three-cone drill is going to break. You know how to start the 40, you know the vertical, the 6-yard shuttle, you know all that stuff. Most of these guys now, too, practice the wonderlick exam. They know what's going to be on it. So it's just the ability to perform in that stressful situation. The interview process is a part of it, and they're not that long. I mean, they're 12, 15 minutes. You've got to cycle through 32 teams, and you don't meet with all of them. The thing that got me the most was the medicals, and that's a huge part of this. We probably don't talk about enough in our business, is you meet with all 32 team doctors. All right, and I had this cut in my wrist, scarf, when I fell off my bike when I was like 6. And I had like 5 or 6 teams say, well, what's that? I said, well, I fell off my bike. And they're looking at me like I was trying to cover up some hidden wrist surgery. I'm like, no, man, I really fell off my bike. It was in Glen Ellyn, Illinois. I was telling them the whole story to these team docs. But they pull on you, they grab your knees, and they're twisting them hard. You know, they're looking for the smallest detail or the negative detail that you might have some limitations, joint mobility. You know, arthritis in your knee or your shoulder already. If you've had knee surgery in the past, what is the flexibility like in your knee? That all comes into play.
Talking to Matt Bowen here on Hogan Johns, and yesterday you and I were talking about Jamal Adams, the LSU safety. You played safety. We talk a lot about the identity of this Bears defense and how there basically isn't an identity. Yeah. And in my opinion, a guy like that, everyone I talk to, immediately raving about how big of a leader he is, how he can come in and be the quarterback of that defense day one. To me, I personally value that a lot. I think it's something the Bears defense needs. And, you know, I'm sure the Bears are going to discuss all that as they go through their vetting process. But this whole idea of not taking a safety that early, just curious about your thoughts on that.
Well, I agree with you. And I think what the Bears have done this year is you're seeing they're starting to build an identity along the defensive front with guys like Hicks when Goldman's healthy, with the production Floyd had. You know, when Freeman was on the field, I thought he played like a leader. And you expect when Trevathan comes back, he will fit into that package. McPhee, the type of intensity, physicality, that's the type of identity you want. I agree with you. The secondary did not have an identity last year. I think the secondary is going to be rebuilt. I've always said there's two groups in a football team that require the most in terms of culture and communication. It's the offensive line and the defensive backfield. Those guys have to work together more than anyone else. You have to have tremendous leadership in the secondary to be successful. You have to have guys that are physical. If I'm putting together secondary right now, the first thing I'm looking for from the Bears are guys that can hit. Okay, I want to be like Denver. I want to be like Seattle. That's what they do. You know, if you line up against Denver and Seattle, they're going to put a helmet on you. Okay, I'm not saying they do it dirty. They do it clean within the rules. The next step of it is finding versatile talent. I think the way the league's going right now, you can't just say you're a strong safety anymore. You're a safety. That means you can play strong, you can play free, you can play nickel linebacker, you can play a dime back. You can move all over inside of the numbers. There'll be a spot for you. And with a guy like Vic Fangio, who I think wants to expand his defense and be a little bit more creative and a little bit more aggressive, that's kind of his calling card, you have to have those type of players who have a little nasty in them too. Okay? Physical, intimidating guys. That's why I look at Adams. And I was talking with Adam earlier about Malik Hooker at Ohio State. Tremendous talent. I mean, if the Bears got him, you can't be disappointed either. I mean, Hooker is – he has range that you can't teach because he's already got the speed, and he's not going to run this week. But when he eventually runs, it's going to be a 4-4, low 4-5, something like that. He's got tremendous ball skills. I think I looked at a stat the other day. He had 6 interceptions this year on throws of 15-plus yards down the field. That's tremendous production. And everyone knows right now, again, looking at the top defenses like Earl Thomas in Seattle, you have that gatekeeper in the post that can close the post and the seam. That does a million things for your defense. It does a bunch for Vic Fangio and how he wants to set his defense, his game plan, his call sheet. But I still go back to Adams as if the conversation we're having is building that identity or building that culture. That's the guy I look at first from a safety perspective.
Another guy that's at least linked to the Bears a lot in the top five is Alabama's Jonathan Allen. You mentioned the medical, and there were some reports out there that his shoulders, they need further evaluation. Right. They got to figure out whether or not arthritis is in there. He's had surgeries before. What do you see on tape from him? And I guess this is my only thought on Alabama, is that you've seen some players get drafted high out of that school. Such a great school for football talent. Some of them don't always work. I always wonder, is it figuring out who's really the guy? When you got all these great players on that defense.
It's an excellent point. It's an excellent point. Also, a lot of those guys have some maintenance issues when they come to the league in terms of injuries because they do practice hard, because they have kind of an old-school NFL culture. I mean, they hit a lot at Bama in terms of their preparation. It's part of the reason they're so tough and so disciplined and they play with technique. It is a great question, though, if you remove a guy from a dominant college defense. And everyone saw that. And if you go back to the national championship game, I think they got worn down. I think that's all it was, nothing to do with their talent. But over the course of the last couple of years, that group together has been tremendous because it's not just Allen, it's Foster, it's Humphrey at corner, Tim Williams, Ryan Anderson, all these guys are going to get drafted. I mean, you're lucky, the school's lucky, you usually get 5 guys drafted. You're going to get 5 guys drafted from the same defense really high, you know? So I'll say this. I have watched tape on Allen. I think he's a tremendous football player. You know, he came into Alabama as an outside linebacker, and now he's up to whatever, weighing at 290, something like that. I think he can play as a 3-4 defensive end. I think in your sub-package, he moves inside. He's got tremendous bursts off the ball. He's great with his hands at the point of attack. You've seen plays this year, his highlight plays, that show his natural athleticism for a man that size. Now, the negatives on him, you're going to question is, can he hold the point in the NFL? I don't think he's very long. Okay, he's not going to be like a Myles Garrett out of Texas A&M in terms of length. Can he take on double teams? I don't think that's his job. I think that's why you have a guy like Golden, why you have a guy like Hicks, who are more sustained at taking on double teams as part of their daily routine, their daily job. But in terms of production, and again, adding more, because I've always said you can never have too many DBs, you can never have too many pass rushers. Vic Fangio will find a way to use them. But there is that question. If what's interesting about medical is some teams will red flag guys, some teams won't. If the Bears really like Allen, what I expect they would do is you'll see him in Hallis Hall in mid-April getting medical rechecks. They'll bring him back in to check him out again to make sure. And if he doesn't fit what their doctor says, then they won't draft him. It's a really interesting process that way. But there is something to be said about you take a guy from a dominant college program who doesn't have the same level of talent around him, and now when he gets to the league where everyone has talent, it balances out. Okay? Doesn't matter if you're talking about Jacksonville, New England, Chicago. Everyone has good football players. It's a fine line between the great teams and the teams that don't make the dance. So, but I can tell you what I've watched from him on film. If I was a Bears fan and they drafted Allen, I'd be pretty excited.
Yeah, I like Allen a lot too. But man, we've talked about this many times. This third overall pick, you can't miss on this. And so taking a risk on a guy that's already got some shoulder problems, potentially chronic issues, that's pretty risky. Before we wrap up here, I want to ask you, because you've been doing some coaching. Mm-hmm. And this year you're at IC Catholic, undefeated season, win a state championship. Tell us a little bit about that experience. And also, has it impacted you in any way in terms of the things you're writing, the way you're looking at football, even here now that you're kind of coaching?
Yeah. Well, to start with IC Catholic, for me personally, I needed it in my life. I think when you're a former player and you get out of the game, and at that point, you know, when I started 2 years ago, I was 10 years out of the game, you start to trend down a path mentally you don't like, okay? And what I mean by that is you start to miss the competition. And I was writing about the game. I'm breaking down film just like you guys are. You miss some of the details that you had as a player. Now, I can never replicate those as a player, but I can get back on the field. I can teach the game of football on the field. I can be around a group of like-minded people, and I needed that in my life. It gave me balance in my life with my family, my job, and this is what I call my passion. And everyone has hobbies in life, right? This is what my hobby is, coaching. It has done tremendous things for me personally in terms of just my outlook on life. to answer your next question, it has impacted how I write, how I look at the game. For one, Adam, I thought I knew the spread offense. I did until I actually had to teach it. Okay, and it's great for this time of the year because, example, Deshaun Watson. Does this offense totally translate to the NFL? No, it does not. But other aspects of it? Sure. And Clemson runs pro-style routes. So do we at IC. Okay. Now, was our quarterback reading the entire field at the same time? Probably not for a junior quarterback in high school, okay? But the same progressions are there. A lot of things with the spread, if you really take out the window dressing around it and narrow it down, it's no different than the New England Patriots. It's no different than Adam Gase's offense. It's really similar to Adam Gase's offense we saw in Chicago 2 years ago with the RPOs, with the quick passing. When you have an inside zone plus a bubble plus an option for the quarterback to keep it. People who don't like that stuff have to get used to it. That's what the future of football is right now. That's what it is at the youth level, the high school level, the college level. And you're seeing it make its way more and more into the NFL. But also how you coach kids and what you look for in kids. And a development with a 16-year-old is no different with the development of young safety in the NFL. It's not. It's still football. It's played at a faster level, obviously, up here. But it's impacted the way how I view the game and what I look for. That's why I go back to Adams, because that's what I look for in my defensive backs. When I have a strong safety while I'm coaching, I want my strong safety to be more physical than anyone on the field. And that's why, because it sets the tone for the entire football game. Playing press man. Okay, you play press man in high school, well, you're going to have some success if you can teach that and challenge routes in high school. All right, it's the same thing in the pros. It's the same thing. You look at New England, the success they've had, or Denver and their secondary. Seattle, even though it's a zone scheme, it's still pressing the outside. The teams that can dictate the flow of the game from the perspective of the secondary are going to have a chance to win a lot.
Well, we are really happy to see the success you guys had, and it's cool to hear you just talk about the way it's impacted your writing, too, and the way you're just even watching things here at the Combine.
I love high school football.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. John does. I know that. He always talks high school ball. I know that.
Matt, thank you so much. Appreciate you joining us.
All right, guys. Thank you.
So there he is, Matt Bowen. Some great stuff from him there. Let's get to some of the meat of what we've seen here in Indy, though, the last few days. And some of that includes what we were just talking about with Jonathan Allen and kind of the serious nature of those medical reports that came out yesterday. I think they're huge. I mean, this was a guy who was – I got my next Bears mock draft coming out next week, someone I was zeroing in to use for number three. And I mentioned it to Matt a few moments ago. I just – to use the number three overall pick, such a crucial draft, such a crucial pick for this Bears team, on a guy who's already got arthritis in his shoulders, that's a tough sell.
I would red flag him. I honestly would, and I know he's such the popular pick there to mock, and mock drafts are, look, they're fun and all. But as Matt was saying, the medical analysis of the combine, it does get a bit overlooked by the fast 40 times, and who's not benching a lot, even though it's not really that all important. The healthiness of these players is so crucial, especially for one that you're going to take in the top five picks that you need to throw in there right away as a starter who's going to go up against mammoth offensive linemen. He needs his shoulders. So to me, You red flag him a bit. You drop him down your boards. He's still a very good player. I do have those concerns about who's the guy in the Alabama defense. But if the Bears stick at number three right now, I'm seriously considering the guy he that Matt praised, Jamal Adams, the safety out of LSU.
Yeah, and I mean, I've been very vocal already. That was the guy I put in my first Bears mock draft at number three, and unless something comes out on him in the next few days here at Indy, I still think that's a good route to go. But the quarterbacks are probably still on the table too, and that's been pretty fascinating over the last few days, not just with what we're seeing and hearing. We're recording this on Thursday, and we had a chance to talk to these top four guys. You know, you talk about the top four being Mitch Trubisky, DeShone Kizer, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. Put them in any order you want there, but they all talk today. But we're also kind of hearing a lot of developments on the free agent market too with some of these quarterbacks. A lot of talk about Mike Glennon. The report the other day saying that Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to be traded. Brian Hoyer's still out there. Jay Cutler, we're still, what are you going to do? So it's kind of going to be really fascinating over the next week to see how all this plays out.
Fluid. Yeah. If you want to go back to using that word, it's fluid. Look, I know people are going to focus on free agency because that's first. That's less than a week away. And the Bears, they're looking at quarterbacks, who may not even be released yet. And they're considering him and going through their pluses and minuses, their positives and negatives and whatnot. Like Pace said, they're going to have plans for all scenarios, and some of those scenarios are yet to emerge yet. To me, it's almost focusing on the guy they take after that. Who's next? Yes, you're going to have this bridge quarterback. Yes, that's important. You want to pair a young guy with an old guy, but that young guy, to me, that's more fascinating, finding that next QB. Because let's face it, whether it's Mike Glennon or Brian Hoyer again for another year or two, he's not replacing Jay Cutler. It's the guy that maybe they draft or trade for Jimmy Garoppolo. But draft, if we want to talk about that here since we're at the Combine, that to me is the most compelling thing in terms of setting up the long-term success of the Chicago Bears.
Well, I think I'm certainly getting the feeling that they're going to address the quarterback position both in free agency and the draft. Like, it seems pretty likely. The question is, how big are the splashes? Are they talking about this trade for Garoppolo? Are they willing to give up number three? You know, from the talks that I've had down here, it certainly seems like, okay, maybe it's unlikely that move happens because the Patriots are asking for the world right now. But there's still a sense that he's available for the right price. So the question is, do the Bears give up that number three pick? I think that's the big question. And then on the other side, if they don't, are they willing to use that on one of these quarterbacks? So it's sort of the matter of, are they going to make the big splash, or are they kind of going to go with maybe the secondary guys on the free agency market and the secondary guys in the draft?
Where would you rank your quarterbacks? You're high on Kizer, right? Because he's got the physical tools, right? He looks the part. I think Watson probably fits that profile that Pace has laid out twice now, once in the Senior Bowl and once at the Combine, about a guy who elevates a program. Clearly, of all the quarterbacks here, really Deshaun Watson is the only guy that fits that. You may see it in glimpses in other guys, but Deshaun Watson embodies that.
But he also doesn't protect the football. If you were to rank those four guys in terms of decision-making, which has also been a huge problem for the franchise, I'd put him fourth.
Behind Kizer, who's been kind of hit or miss?
But he was much better in 2015 when he had better receivers, better protection, and that matters. But Watson's kind of always consistently been a guy that turns the ball over.
He's also won a lot. But I get your point. Like, Deshaun Kizer's never been a true full-time starter, so that to me is a bit disconcerting. Now, Notre Dame's been kind of a mess the past couple of years. You know, Brian Kelly's kind of on a hot seat down there, and there's a lot of things going on in their quarterback evaluation, so that comes into play as well. You know, Patrick Mahomes, super athlete. Can he read the field? He's been compared to a Jay Cutler in terms of his athleticism and the way he could sling the ball. I don't know. I think he said today that he likes that comparison, but they're for Cutler, a guy who hasn't maximized his talents, I don't know if that's a bit alarming for a comparison. But yeah, Nate Peterman, the Bears obviously liked him out of the Senior Bowl. But what's interesting to me is that the GMs, now that they're on record, you've always heard from all these anonymous scouts, and you hear it when you're talking to people about how this quarterback class is kind of mediocre, but now all the GMs are going on record, whether it's John Elway or John Lynch, two former players, and saying this is a pretty good quarterback class when it gets down to it.
Yeah. A lot of posturing going on, a lot, especially when a guy comes out that publicly and says that kind of stuff.
I thought it was John Lynch literally went through all the top quarterbacks and praised them quite emphatically, which was very interesting. Now he's first-year GM. I don't think he's going to do that next year, but yes.
Smokescreen.
Yes, absolutely. And he's a number two. He's got the number two pick, and I think it's at least for the Bears, and I wrote this for Friday's paper in the Sun-Times, you really have to be aware of what the 49ers are saying and doing, and same with the Browns. They're right in front of you in the first round, but this, the second round and the third round, those, it's a very deep draft. You have to really read and watch closely in terms of what those two teams are doing.
Well, there's a report yesterday out of Cleveland that the Browns might take Trubisky number one. All of a sudden, that puts Myles Garrett one slot away from the Bears. I mean, that's a potentially franchise-altering type of... I just could not see the Bears passing up on Myles Garrett if he was sitting there at number three somehow.
Absolutely not. And that's such a Browns decision.
It would be. Yeah.
And then you got to, you don't know how to really read what the 49ers are going to do because they got a new head coach, new GM who is literally in the broadcast booth, so you don't know where they're going. Yes, John Lynch has hired a lot of respected NFL minds to be his right-hand, left-hand man, whatever. But you don't know what his final say is going to be because he hasn't had a final say.
Let's focus on these free agent quarterbacks a little bit here. There's been a lot of talk over the last 24 hours. Like I said, I still think Garoppolo's available. I think that's probably, if I were to rank the Bears' options right now to start week one of 2017, I think that might be number one. It might also be a little hard to pull off right now. Maybe not the most likely option. But if you were to rank the guys in terms of preference, I still think he'd be number one. So then all of a sudden emerging possibly as number two here in the last few days is Mike Glennon, the backup in Tampa. Put up decent numbers. Doesn't really move around well. But he wasn't good enough for Tampa to stick with him. They went out and used the number one overall pick on a good quarterback in Jameis Winston, but the fact that they did that shows you they didn't have much faith in him.
He was good numbers, like when? 2014?
He's thrown 11 passes since 2014.
Yeah, look, you had a very good question to Pace the other day when we met him, what was it, Wednesday, at the Indiana Convention Center, about price and not moving on that price. Do not overvalue a Mike Glennon. He hasn't started a game in 2 years. There are reasons for this. Jameis Winston was a day one starter in Tampa Bay. There are reasons for this. Look, I get why they're going to explore every option. It's part of their plan, the process, their scenarios, whatever words you want to use that they use. You know, everything's fluid, so they're going to mark guys off their list. They're going to give prices. And look, over the next few days, when the free agency market really starts to reveal itself, I don't think there's a lot of deals being done here during the combine yet. You still have the negotiating window coming up, but I think it's very important for the Bears to remember that price point that they've set and not to waver from it and not to overpay and not have a situation where you're full of regret for overpaying a guy who's really not that good.
The timing in all this is fascinating to me because if you're going to go ahead and sign Mike Glennon, that means you're giving up on the Garoppolo idea. So that means that then all of a sudden the Patriots lose a team that could be very interested. There's some urgency there, I think. You know, if he's really off the table, and maybe he is, maybe this is just the other, you know, GMs in the league not believing him, that's got to kind of get done by Thursday, I feel like, the way this is all playing out. And otherwise, you might see teams stalling, but it certainly seems like Glennon's going to go fast. And then once you get him off the table or wherever he ends up, you start looking at guys like Hoyer, who at this point seem to be third or fourth options on this kind of list we're going through right now. And then there's Cutler, too.
Again, it's... I hate using There were, but it is fluid because there's so many dominoes that need to fall, and the Cutler is still a major one. You're not going to trade him without really having a replacement plan in place, but you're sort of already leaning that way in so many ways because you can't really go back on a decision when you're already kind of dangling him out there that well, or that much, I should say. So they have to get – I don't know if they – they got to figure out what they're doing at the quarterback situation. Yes, it's obvious, but is this the year to really figure it out? Kind of a up-and-down quarterback class. You have some very special guys coming out in next year's draft. There will be different free agents next year to explore. I haven't really gone through all of them, but things will change. Is this really the best offseason to address your most important position? Yes, you're going to address it, but is the true answer out there? There's some questions about that.
There's huge questions. And then that goes back to, okay, well, then do you just stick with Hoyer for another year? Do you stick with Cutler for another year? Because I'll repeat what I said and wrote in our last podcast on Wednesday when we were here. If you're going to pay Mike Glennon $10, $12 million a year and commit to him for, you know, at least three seasons where there's going to be guaranteed money on the books, why would you not just stick with Cutler for 15 when none of it's guaranteed? You can get rid of him at any time.
Yeah, that's – look, I think the door is kind of shut on Cutler. I don't know if it's locked, but that's a great argument. That's a great point. If Mike Glennon is not going to budge off his $10 million number and a team like the 49ers are going to make him their bridge quarterback at $10 million a year, is it – Jay Cutler is worth $12.5 million in base salary. Is he not? He has started games. Yes, he's dealt with injuries. Yes, he could be a lightning rod character in so many ways, even though I think he's a better teammate in Chicago than the outside media, than the national media will ever give him credit for. But that's a hard sell to your fan base, even a fan base that may be tired of their current situation under center. But to move to somebody who hasn't started a game in 2 years and replacing a guy who, for all his faults, has set the record books at Hallis Hall, that's a very hard sell to a fan base that is getting very apathetic about using their tickets at Soldier Field.
That's a good point. That's kind of always dangling out there, tickets that went up in price after last season, amazingly. All right, well, I mean, is there anything else that kind of sticks out from here right now as we head into the weekend and the combine kind of quickly blends into free agency, which the negotiating window starts Tuesday, and I think we've already seen plenty of that been going on already here in Indy.
I just want to reiterate the point that the Bears are not going to buy their way out of trouble, and I think this draft sets up nicely for them to address a number of needs. You Pace on Wednesday talked about balancing out the strengths of free agency and the strengths of the draft. Deep at cornerback, it's deep at safety, it's deep at tight end, kind of deep at receiver. So these are great. This is a great draft class in general, and in terms of positions, it sets up pretty nicely for the Bears to address a range of areas.
And one last thing I'll say about the quarterback situation, what you just brought up about, is this the year? Because as we kind of go through this, we're going, Mike Glennon? Yeah. All these rookies have flaws, you know, or at least one box that's left unchecked. The good side of that, though, is that it's a good year to try to trade Jay Cutler. Again, you're just looking for something for him. So they're kind of working against each other. It's like in one hand it's helping you because it could help Cutler's trade value. On the other hand, it's hurting you because you got to have Plan B. And Plan B is not materializing quick enough here. But, you know, as we sit here on Friday before free agency, by Thursday, a week from now, it's very likely that the Bears quarterback situation could look a lot different.
It's I like this condensed window of having the combine backed up against free agency. It goes right to the 3-day window, then you got free agency, and then you got the break for the draft. But I think one agent described this to me as kind of a very chaotic team time, and the chaos can lead to some crazy money being spent at this time of year.
And that's what the Bears have to be careful with, sticking to that number that we talked about earlier. All right, well, I think it's going to wrap it up for us here in Indy. things are not slowing down. So we'll be back next week, probably with a podcast before free agency starts, and certainly one once the Bears are probably holding some press conference. Is it for Mike Glennon? Is it for AJ Bouye? I mean, or is it for somebody not as big? We'll see. I don't know. But we'll be there whenever it happens. Certainly the next couple weeks are going to be pretty fascinating, not only with the Bears, but across the NFL. This is episode 81 of Hogan Johns. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Plenty up there from Indianapolis. And the podcast, by the way, is officially switched over on iTunes. So search for Hogan Johns now, and you can find the podcast. Subscribe for free there. Please rate it and review it. We appreciate you doing that. And, you know, fasten your seatbelts because next week's going to be crazy. We'll be right there with you right here on Hogan Johns.